This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Monday Night Raw After WrestleMania review here on the WWE Podcast. It's April 9th, 2024. WrestleMania has come and gone. And we're already looking forward to WrestleMania 41, thinking about what could happen. The Rock is going away for a while, as we all expected him to go, and that's fine. But he has given us a target upon his return, and that is Cody Rhodes, that he'll be targeting upon his return. We don't know what he handed Cody Rhodes at the beginning of Raw that really did that last. I mean, I saw Hulu, and it took up half the show. It took up 45 minutes. So that means like it was a full hour of television with commercials. Am I wrong? For those of you that actually watch the commercial version of Raw live, it had to have been an hour. So maybe the longest single opening segment of Raw in its history, but I didn't hate it. I thought it was well done, you know, and I will say this, but well, before we get going, I want to welcome our new patrons, Brad Stubblefield, Funky Guy 97. Thank you guys for joining us. I think Chris, I gave you a shout out earlier too, but thank you to Chris. Thank you to Funky Guy 97 and Brad Stubblefield for joining us over at the Patreon side of things. And if you want to join the Patreon side of things and not have to deal with any ads every 5 to 10 minutes, well, that's a good place to go is patreon.com/WWE podcast or WWEpodcast.com or Apple Podcasts, which all of them offer ad free everything. So we're going to get into Raw, but first and foremost, I want to just say up front, been a lot of reaction to my review of especially WrestleMania Night 2 and to our current state of WWE that I did yesterday with Anthony DeMarco, in which we were not excited about Cody Rhodes, the babyface character. But if you've listened to this show, you know that that's not something we like. And, you know, I know that admittedly, sometimes I can go a little bit too repetitive on the negative side. But here's what I will also say. It's my show. And if you don't like what I have to say, hey, there are other podcasts. Unsubscribe, right? And I don't mean that in a screw you kind of way. It's just logic. If you don't like the show, don't listen. I really don't care. I don't. I mean, the show's going to survive whether you listen or not, right? To those of you that are crapping on the show and don't like what we have to say, then move on. Move on. But if you want to actually engage in civil debate, I'm all ears. Let's go, right? I mean, that's a lost art today. You know, it's all about calling people names. Oh, you're a hater. Oh, relax and enjoy the product. Those are all nothing more than deodorizers for the source of the problem, which is your lack of ability to have a civil debate. And that's all it is. So those of you that don't like what I have to say or are tired of me complaining about Cody, hey, I don't know what to tell you. There are other shows. I know other podcast hosts will be like, no, I'm sorry, and cower, and change their opinion and apologize and be cowards. Yeah, like, that's not this show. Yeah, that's not this show. We love having listeners. We love the supporters. And hey, I'm all for people disagreeing with me. I don't want everyone to just be an echo chamber. I like differing opinions. But apparently some of you, can't handle a dissenting opinion because it makes your tummy hurt. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't care. So, but I do care if you are interested in having debate. Cool. Like human beings, like adults, and you don't want to act like we're 14 years old, freshmen in high school and name calling. How old are you? So, I mean you as the audience that has had a very visceral reaction to my complaints about Cody. But if you listened to the whole show, because apparently some people didn't, all they heard was me complaining about Cody Rhodes. But I also agree that that's the same decision I would have made. The Cody Rhodes decision, while I don't like his character, has nothing to do with what's right for the company. What's right for the company is Cody Rhodes to be champion. So like, apparently that concept of being able to have a mature outlook on something, of disagreeing with a character, but also being able to understand that the company's needs come before my petty dislikes for Cody. Of course. See, that's called a mature outlook. Okay, it's a mature opinion. I'm certainly not, let's be serious. I have a lot of immaturity things that about me that I hide, and I think we all do to some degree. It's a matter of who can hide it better, right? Being an adult is really not changing who you are. It's just suppressing who you are for the outside world in a way, because who you are at your core doesn't really change throughout your life. It's a matter of just suppressing the childhood inside of you while outwardly expressing a more mature version of you. But that inner child never goes away, right? So I'm not pretending to be this all saints type of, you know, grandfather, wise man, no pun intended. I'm not. But my point about all this is, if you are interested in having civil debate, like, let's go. It's fun. But it's so easily today descends into name calling. And the moment that you name call or call somebody a hater but have nothing of substance to say, you just name call and call people haters and labels and like whatever, you've already lost the debate. Because it's clear that you do not have the intelligence to debate. That's it. So bottom line on that, because I wanted to respond on a podcast and not on X, which is sometimes more difficult to do in so many characters. If you don't like the show, hit the road. And I mean that, like, there are done tons of other shows. Like, seriously, I appreciate everybody who listens. I really do. We're here for you guys. We're here for my own therapy, yes. This is therapy for me. But hit the bricks. I don't care if you listen. I don't. Oh, there's other shows. Good. Go. Bye. See ya. You know? So, all right. I wanted to just say that. But everyone else who has presented a very civil, normal, adult debate and would like to provide constructive criticism to the show, hey, I'm all for it, man. Like, if you genuinely feel, hey, you just, I like you, but it sounds like you complain too much. Cool. There's a professional way of presenting that opinion. I want to hear that stuff. That's fine. Because sometimes I do go off the rails. I do. Admittedly, I think I complained about Cody Rhodes for the first 30 minutes of the review show last night. I did. Yeah, I did. And hey, if you like Cody Rhodes, you're tired of hearing about it. You know, but I'm not, here's the thing. I'm also not sorry. I am not apologizing for a damn thing that I've said about Cody either. So if you think I'm going to sit here and apologize and kowtow to the people that have their tummies hurt on what I have to say, yeah, ain't going to happen. Okay, now that that's out of the way, we had Cody Rhodes, where Triple H opened the show, and he was really out there to do what he always does, which is just thank us, and that's cool. It's always nice to see Triple H. Paul Levesque, as he's now being known, Paul Triple H Levesque, which is really what they did to The Rock when he left and had a Hollywood career and had a career outside of wrestling. They started to call him, instead of The Rock, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now it's Paul Levesque or Paul Triple H Levesque. Kind of the same thing, where he's both guys when need be and one guy when he isn't. Like, it's fine. It makes sense. So Triple H comes out and he thanks everybody. And, you know, we talk about the records that WWE set over the last several days, and it is pretty impressive. Now, their stat about the 145,000 and change people, right, that went to WrestleMania. Okay, yeah, that's the number of tickets they sold. Absolutely, that's true. But I would say that the number of unique people is more important, right? Meaning, I could have bought a ticket, and most people did, I would imagine, for two nights. So sure, that was the number of ticket sales because there were two nights. But I would venture to guess that the actual number of people that attended, unique people, were probably around 80,000. I'm sure there were people that bought just one night. But most people, if you're going, are going to make it a two-night event. So that's also an important differentiator that they didn't want to discuss, is the same people probably attended both nights, which is kind of, it's not lying through, you know, statistics. It's just digging below the surface. And still, it's impressive because that doubles the revenue. Now they still have to pay rent for two nights, You know, there's still expenses that come with providing a second night to WWE, but overall, it's more lucrative for them to stay two nights, and it's more palatable for two 4-hour shows instead of one 8-hour show, no doubt about it. So I think this format is beautiful. It is something that should stay. It is something that has really revolutionized WrestleMania into a week-long event, and now the main event is two nights, because not after one night's over, you're like, oh man, you kind of come down from it and you're like, wait, we still have another night. It's like Christmas for 2 days. So I love that format. I don't think it's going anywhere. But let's get into the nitty-gritty of Monday Night Raw. As I said, Triple H comes out and he does what he does. Thanks everybody for being there. Thanks Philadelphia. He was chanted a lot by the fans. Thank you, Hunter. Was very prominent. And he's talking about how it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Now, they say that every year. You know, every year is the greatest WrestleMania of all time. In some ways, this one could be presented as that. Now, to be fair, this is truly the beginning marking of a new era. And making whatever greatest is to you is not what's greatest to me. Greatest is the most subjective thing, the most subjective word in the dictionary, because, again, what's great to me may suck to you and vice versa. So greatest is always something that it's like, well, according to who? And how do you measure greatness? What to you makes something great? It means something different to everybody. So, but I guess collectively they're saying it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Fine. Okay. It was a very good WrestleMania. I will give you that. Despite all my complaining about Cody Rhodes that made so many of your bellies hurt, I agreed with the decision. It was the right company decision. It was a great way to usher in truly a new era. Cody Rhodes will be the face of that new era, which is why I don't believe he's going to lose the belt for at least a year or maybe longer. He's not going to go on a Roman Reigns run, but I don't think he'll be truly jeopardized until later in the year. And if the thing is, if he gets to fall as champion, he's going to WrestleMania as champion. You know, it's kind of like the event horizon of a black hole, right? Once you get to Survivor Series, it's kind of the event horizon of whoever's champion typically stays champion from Survivor Series to Mania. But that said, you know, it really is the beginning of a new era. The Paul Levesque era. Fine. Let's label it that. Sounds good. And he said that he welcomed us to Raw. And Cody Rhodes comes out, shook hands. Cody kissed the title belt, raised it in the air, and then Triple H raised Cody's arm, and a "You Deserve It" chant broke out, and Triple H said he wanted to say congratulations, and Cody said he absolutely deserves it and congratulated him for being for bringing an end to one of the most incredible title reigns of all time. And we talked again about a new gate record for Raw with over 20,000 people, and also the 17th consecutive televised live event sellout, which is impressive, especially where WWE was just 5 years ago. Impressive, and I have no issue with them flexing their muscle a bit on that stat. He also said that he got a couple hours after WrestleMania ended. He said he said the call came from a couple guys in the studio who said he made something special for Cody, and then asked Paul Levesque if he'd share it with him, and Levesque wanted to share it with all of us. And a Cody Rhodes video played to Andra Day's "Rise Up." Okay. Now, the inner complainer in me, the inner crybaby in myself, wants to say a lot about this stuff, because it is exactly what I hate about the Cody Rhodes character embodied in a video. I won't talk too much about it. I mean, you see Cody Rhodes on a split screen, tearing up as we expected. Mr., you know, white smile, manicured hair, bleach blonde hair, or manicured nails, bleach blonde hair, and white smile, and Mr. Tux, you know, or Mr. Suit, not Tux, is on this one screen crying, and the other one is, oh my God. You know, this is just weird, okay? Beyond me complaining, just look at this objectively, right? It is feel good. And I know I'm not going to talk any of you into liking Cody Rhodes. And just like you're not going to talk me out of hating his babyface character while at the same time respecting the hell out of him. When is the last time we got a tributary video to a guy that is still in the company and is actively still champion? This is like a retirement video. This is what you show at a Hall of Fame. This isn't some heartwarming thing that you show while he's still champion and then show your champion crying in the ring. What? Like, I don't understand why this appeals to people. I know it's all about pulling at the heartstrings, and WWE has done a very good job of pulling at the heartstrings for Cody Rhodes, and he's a relatable guy, and he's trying to be the everyman, and he's doing people's weddings and being best mans and doing things that other champions have never done before. It's unprecedented how much he is the common man. I get all that garbage. But, like, can anyone see through this? I'm sure Cody's genuinely a good guy. He seems like it. If he was a total a-hole, I would be very impressed with him being able to cover it up this well, because typically on camera, you can see when somebody's not really being themselves, and you can see genuinely who they are through the facade. I genuinely think Cody's a very good guy. I'm sure he is. He seems like a very dedicated husband and a dad, and that's wonderful. But, like, we don't need this. Why are we doing this while he's still champion? Okay. Name the last champion that has won at WrestleMania. Did Roman Reigns cry? Now, I know he cried with Paul Heyman. Off camera, when it wasn't part of the show, after his title reign was over. Not when he won and during his run did Roman Reigns cry. Okay. And also, could you imagine Stone Cold or The Rock, after they won the title at WrestleMania, coming out and doing a tributary video and then they're crying watching it? It just, again, I know I'm not in the majority here, because you hear the crowd reaction, even in Philly, that typically is heel heavy and boos goody two shoes baby faces, is part of this psychosis that has run wild over the Cody Rhodes babyface character. I mean, it feels like a mass psychosis is going on, and I'm the only one that hasn't caught the disease, along with others, a couple of other co-hosts. And so I'm going to do my best to not be a part of that psychosis. But honestly, the more he doubles down on this soft version of himself, the more that I am immune to this whole Cody Rhodes babyface character of loving him and supporting him and crying with him and seeing his dog and seeing his daughter and seeing his wife. I don't know. This is not my thing. I'll leave it at that. But so Mr. Crybaby continues, and again, he shows his daughter, which, finish the story, daddy. And then, okay, I'm going to say the same thing, so I'm going to move on. So he talks about Roman Reigns' run and the 1,316 days, and said, we don't have to like him, but I certainly acknowledge what he's done. And thank you, Roman, has started. That chant actually started organically, and he said he was the man. Cody was the man destined to defeat Roman Reigns. And Cody said a big thing people, when you enter the business, ask is why. Cody said he wanted to show fans of one of his main whys. And of course, this is where his daughter's saying, Papa, finish this story. Look, I have a daughter too, and you guys know what I'm going to say about it. I don't need to see it. He's a soft little just feminine guy that I love my daughter too, but I don't cry on national television as WWE champion. All right. Nothing wrong with people having feelings. I know we're all about validating everyone's feelings today, because apparently if you don't validate someone's feelings, you don't validate their existence or some garbage, right? I know what today's society says, and I don't give a crap. I don't care. This is still, and you guys, especially the men out there listening to me, know, a feminine man crying all the time and smiling all the time. And look at my family. Look at my wife and my kids. I'm just such a cuddly guy. If that appeals to you, I mean, we clearly don't have a lot in common. I'll just say that. All right. Not as, there's times and places for that. There are times and places to love your family and show love for your daughters and your sons and your wives. There are times for it, absolutely, but not on national television when you just defeated the longest reigning champion in the modern era, and you're supposed to be our champion moving forward, and he's this soft, feminine man. Sorry, doesn't appeal to me, but let's keep going. So he said that he's used to standing in line, but now the line is for him, meaning champion. He is fighting as a champion. All that fighting, I'm a fighting champion crap. But The Rock comes out And he has the People's Championship belt over his shoulder. And we all were reminded that it's Lani Ali gifted The Rock the belt during the Hall of Fame ceremony on behalf of Muhammad Ali. So it was actually addressed that The Rock said, you know, this belt ain't fake, you know, that which was a nice way to address, like, hey, he's not just carrying this belt because he's trying to be cool. It actually has meaning, and it does. It does. And the crowd wouldn't originally let him talk, and they finally did. And a Rocky Sucks chant broke out. The Rock said that he's a lot of things, but sucks isn't one of them. There were a-hole chants that were bleeped off of Hulu. We didn't even hear them on Hulu. The what bit was played again. Like, The Rock even cut his promo in a way that encouraged the what chants. So that was interesting that he actually encouraged it. But The Rock said Philadelphia broke another record for the largest collection of trailer park trash. That the crowd chanted and cheered for themselves over that. Michael Cole clearly muted his mic and was laughing his ass off over that, which was fun to watch. And they were booing him but laughing at the same time. Kind of an interesting reaction. And he told the fans to chant it now and then appeared to tell them to shut the F up while he was muted. So, boy, The Rock has really been doing a lot of R-rated cussing over the last 3 months. And I know that wrestlers don't like it because they feel that he has privileges that they don't. And the answer is, yeah, you're absolutely right. He does. He's earned it. Deal with it. And I think it's effective. It also, at the same time, is a bit, you become a bit trepidatious, though, if you have a family, younger kids especially, and this language is now commonly being used at shows. They can't mute it off the live mic, only for the people at home. So bringing your kids to see that and hear that language may be a bit of a deterrent for you as a parent to bring your kids, especially now that the blood has kind of come back and cussing has kind of come back. It's still PG somehow. I'd love to see what the definition of PG is now, like what things you can and can't do, because clearly this is TV-14 stuff, or at least it was. But now TV-PG has been expanded to include the stuff that TV-14 used to be exclusive to. I don't know how it all works. Somehow they're getting away with it. Maybe they just don't care because they're going to Netflix soon. But I don't know. So Rock said he wanted to give Cody his flowers and that he did it. He completed his story. He spoke about the things that he did to Cody and said that Cody still got it done. And Rock recalled the belt he made with Mama Rhodes' name on it. And he said that, it's no secret that Dusty was one of The Rock's heroes. And that Cody's daddy in heaven would be proud. And he meant it genuinely. It didn't seem like he was being kind of tongue in cheek about it. And let's see what else. He said that he didn't care if he wasn't worried that his dad wasn't proud of the things he's done. He goes, I don't care, which is great. Rock said Cody finished the story and now has a brand new belt. And The Rock said he wanted to hold Cody's title for a moment, and Cody said, sure, as long as I get to hold yours. That was interesting. I kind of knew, if you were at home too, maybe you were thinking the same thing, that he wasn't going to attack Cody, but rather it was a kind of a launching point for The Rock eventually targeting the championship and maybe challenging Cody for that belt, which I think he eventually will, but I don't believe that The Rock is in any position to win the championship. I think at some point when The Rock does return, maybe towards SummerSlam, that we have Cody versus The Rock at SummerSlam, and we don't see Roman Reigns until that point, and Roman Reigns maybe attacks The Rock, and Rock loses the match, but then we also get a setup for Roman Rock heading towards WrestleMania 41 at that point. Maybe it's a little early in the year, but that's how I'm thinking about it lining up so far. And so they hold each other's championships. Rock said it just feels right, and The Rock said that it's no secret. He's, you know, going to go away for a little while. The Rock sang, or the crowd sang, na 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 na, the goodbye song, which, by the way, if anyone knows where that started, I believe it started with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon back in like 1999 after the Fully Loaded pay-per-view where it was Undertaker and Stone Cold in a First Blood match. And if Austin won, Vince McMahon was gone. And I think that's where it all started. If anyone's curious, because I know you were very curious. So The Rock told Cody to remember that when he comes back, whether Cody is champion or he's not champion, he's coming back for him. Cody said he's looking forward to it, and he and the world were looking forward to it. And Rock said Cody beat Reigns right in the middle of the ring. And Rock said less than 24 hours before that, he beat Cody in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3, and said that Cody beat Reigns and that his story with the Reigns is over. But Rock said our story has just begun. And then he hands something to Cody saying, "Don't you ever break my heart again if you smell what the final boss is cooking." So I don't know what he handed Cody. I don't know what it was. You know, we'll find out in time, I'm sure, what he handed Cody Rhodes. Maybe some of you have already figured out the code or what it is. And I don't know exactly, but I don't know what he meant by "don't break my heart again." I guess because the story was that Cody went back on his word after the whole debacle of The Rock taking Cody's place at WrestleMania happened, and the story came out that Cody and Rock originally agreed to do this, and Cody went back on his word, and that's where The Rock got pissed at Cody. Again, all in storyline. So that's probably what he meant by that, but yeah, it was a nice little Easter egg and made you wonder, what the hell did he hand him? I love that stuff. That stuff is, it makes you go, wait, no, I need to know. Why aren't they showing us? Nice hook. All right. The draft will start April 26th on the edition of SmackDown and conclude on the April 29th edition of Raw. So the draft is coming, folks. It's coming. And we don't have to wait till September. Big moves. LA Knight guaranteed go to Raw, you would imagine. Cody Rhodes to SmackDown. Randy Orton to SmackDown. We could go through some of the big names and predictions already, and I'm sure some of you will email me with your predictions, but I'm curious. So I don't need all 60 moves. Give me some of your top five moves in the draft. What would you do? Okay. So we then get the first match here, about an hour and a half in. The NXT champion, Dragunov, versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a non-title match. Dragunov went for a top rope move and Nakamura avoided it. McAfee said that Dragunov might be the NXT champion, but you can't take your sweet ass time like that. Eventually, Dragunov hit Nakamura with the H-bomb, hit him with the Torpedo Moscow, and scored the victory. So Dragunov beat Nakamura in 4 minutes. I thought this was good for Dragunov. Hey, this is the time to not just showcase your previous talent and Attitude Era talent, which is always fun on the edition of Monday Night Raw edition after Mania, but also to showcase, hey, this is a time for new talent to come up and give the talent of tomorrow a chance to get on a big show with big ratings and give them a chance to shine and give them exposure when fans go, "I don't really know who you are." This is the time to do it. At some point, they got to be brought in, right? So a good showing for Dragunov, even if it was a bit of a short match. All right. We then get, we're in hour two already. We got a bunch of recap videos, tons of recap videos. We get the World Heavyweight Champion Priest being introduced by Judgment Day. And a You Deserve It chant broke out. And he said, "You're damn right I do," which was a perfect example or perfect response by Priest to the fans. And let's see here. We get Priest and Ripley holding up their belts. R-Truth sneaks into the ring and joins them, raising up the Raw Tag Team title belt. Priest said, "Hell no." And he said, Truth said he brought the tag titles back to the Judgment Day. And Miz made his entrance to almost no reaction, which was not good. I mean, Miz has really fallen flat. It's not that he can't be repaired, but Miz hasn't done a whole lot lately. With a couple of promos, Miz is talented enough to get himself back on track, but it feels like the Miz has been really just kind of flatlined for the time being. But again, I'm not too concerned about the Miz, and he's so talented, I'm not worried about it. Now let's get into the match here, as we get R-Truth and the Miz versus Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh. And the match started as a handicap match, and it was alluded to that somebody who you couldn't see was going to be their tag team partner to make it 3-on-3. I think we all knew, given it's Raw after Mania and that John Cena was there last night, that it's reasonable to believe that he's also there tonight. And he finally did come out and took a tag from The Miz. Cena hit McDonagh with the two shoulder blocks and slammed him to the mat. By the way, if nobody went for the punch after the two shoulder blocks, would Cena even have, what would his next move be? But Cena watched while Truth and The Miz slammed the other two, and they did, all three of them did the You Can't See Me bit, and all hit five knuckle shuffles, which Cole called the 15 knuckle shuffle, and then all three hit kind of simultaneous AAs and got the victory. This match lasted about 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes or so, and it gave John Cena a match in 2024, so he continues his streak from 2002 to 2024. He's had a match every single year. It was fun. You know, seeing Cena at this point, despite his bald spot, which is, again, just, again, speaking as I am the spokesperson of the bald community, I don't get it, bro. Like, fix it. Unless he doesn't care or he's just aging gracefully, which, hey, more power to you. It just, it feels like you could easily fix that with, I don't know, Hair Club for Men or something. Again, being bald, I speak very intelligently on this subject. Okay, so again, Cena, his appearance was fun, but it didn't lead also to anything larger for the moment. I know that Cena said he's not done. I still believe he'll have a one-on-one match sometime this year. I don't know who it's going to be against or what it's for. Nothing on the line does, but Cena has alluded to the fact that this year may be it. He wants to go on a bit of an extended run to wrap up his career. So this could be the last year that we see John Cena having a match. Although, you know, unless it's billed as an official retirement match, how many times do we see people leave, get the itch to come back, you know, and then they're having a match 10 years later? I mean, hell, look at Stone Cold Steve Austin. 19 years later, he has a match. I mean, you just never know. So, okay. We're going to get Cody Rhodes and Bayley this Friday on SmackDown. Now, I fully expect in the draft that's coming up in a month for Cody to be drafted to SmackDown and for Damian Priest to stay on Raw. It seems like SmackDown's a much better fit for Cody Rhodes, but we'll see. We can think about the draft a little bit more in detail as the weeks move on, but it's something to look forward to for sure. Now, backstage, Dom told Rhea that he didn't think Cena would actually come out, and Cena's not their problem, but it's Andrade who betrayed Dom. And then Ripley was suddenly struck by a chair thrown by Liv, which actually looked brutal. The way it hit Rhea Ripley, it looked almost like the corner of the chair hit Rhea. I haven't heard anything in terms of her being busted open or anything, but it did look a little rough. Now, the next piece here is that Liv Morgan is finally living up to her revenge tour that she labeled when she returned at the Royal Rumble, because for a while it was just her. She's on a revenge tour for Rhea, but then she's ignoring Rhea and attacking everybody else, which was weird. Now she finally gets to her revenge tour. Now this is a version of Liv I can get behind. I can get behind this version of her that is just attacking Liv, ruthless, not trying to be cute, just badass, trying to hurt Rhea Ripley. And sure, Rhea Ripley's going to destroy Liv at the end of this program, but that's not really what this is about. To me, this is about establishing Liv's character a little bit further, a little bit deeper, beyond what we've seen thus far. And that's really what I'm looking forward to here, is if they're going to give them in the proper program, Liv will be a bump in Rhea's road, and there's zero chance she's going to win the belt. But I want to see what Liv can bring to the table. All right. The NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez versus Indy Hartwell. Again, another spot in the show here that showcases newer talent. And that's what you want. You need that mix. We all love our stars of yesteryear. You know, we all love the huge names, and we've gotten a lot of those over the last few days, and we love it. But without the building of new stars, you're not going to be able to replenish the stars leaving. So it's the growing pains of getting newer stars. And, you know, a lot of us obviously know who Roxanne Perez and Indy Hartwell are, but they're nowhere near, of course, the star power that we've seen over the last several days. But we just, as fans, sometimes we have to understand that not everyone's going to be a big star. Not everybody is going to be somebody that we have an emotional connection with. Sometimes it takes time to build that. And so I like the fact that there was at least a few segments to showcase the newer talent. All right. Particularly Roxanne Perez, the NXT Women's Champion. And this match, sure, wasn't exactly the longest, but with the Rock segment going an hour, it was essentially just SmackDown. I mean, we got a SmackDown version of Raw because one segment took up an hour, a third of the show. So NXT Women's Champion Roxanne Perez did beat Indy Hartwell in just under 3 minutes. It ended with the Pop Rocks finish, which was the Canadian, not the Canadian Destroyer, but also Code Red, which is essentially another finish that is used by Zelina Vega over on SmackDown. So, again, cool finish. And if you're small, like Roxanne Perez is, and like Zelina Vega is, you got to have some kind of badass-looking finish. And that's one that I think is workable by everybody, and I like it. So, solid match. Really, they maximized their seconds here, not even really minutes. It was barely multiple minutes. But you got to give them at least a little credit here. So, let's continue on. Sami Zayn was shown backstage wearing his belt, and Jey Uso showed up, congratulated Zayn, who was proud of Jey. Did he watch the match? Yeah. I mean, I'm reading a review that says, did he watch that match? It's true. I mean, because, hey, the match between Jimmy and Jey was terrible. I still stand by that. It was terrible by the standards of Jimmy and Jey as tag team wrestlers and how well they work together and the crazy matches that they put on. And then you split them apart and put them against one another and they produce hot garbage. And it's disappointing. I mean, it just is. That's all. So, you know, but so Sammy and Jey did their old handshake for old time's sake. And it was a feel good moment. So Roxanne Perez was backstage and she encountered Natalia, who said she would see her on NXT. And Perez said, no, I'll see you tomorrow night on my show. So, okay, Natalia and Roxanne Perez. We all know where this is going, as Natalia is the proverbial gatekeeper for all new talent to walk over. Sorry, Natalia, that's kind of where you've landed in your role. You might get a victory in the series, but ultimately you are losing. And there's no shame in that. Natalia is a accomplished female wrestler. It's just a fact that she has, for the better part of her career, never been the focal point and looked at as a veteran, a respected veteran, but also a veteran that is really a usual first opponent for a lot of new talent. And they can learn a lot from Natalia. Working with her obviously will be, it'll be an education, right? You're sitting under the learning tree for a lot of new talent, but that's kind of been Natalia's role and she does it well. All right, Sami Zayn comes out. The crowd continued to sing Zayn's entrance, so you deserve it chant. A lot of you deserve it chants broke out. And he said, you don't understand that much that means to him. And said he's been so lucky to do some historic things at WrestleMania. Talked about beating the 666-day reign from Gunther. And he said, I beat him. The fans sang the Olay song, and then Zayn got a lot of help from the fans. And said he had times where he didn't believe in himself, but the fans did. Zayn said seeing his wife and son before the match helped, just as seeing Kevin Owens helped. And there was another guy that helped him out, and Zayn was interrupted. Imperium comes out with Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci, and Kaiser spoke about how Gunther put hard work and dedication into making the IC title the most prestigious in WWE, and it breaks his heart to see someone like Zayn holding the title now. And Kaiser and Zayn look like all the peasants in Philadelphia. Okay, so Kaiser said he and Vinci were there to make things right. And they climbed onto the apron. Gable runs out, joins Zayn, causing Kaiser and Vinci to drop to the floor. And then Gable gave a shoosh and thank you bit heading into the break. And then we get IC champion now, Sami Zayn and Chad Gable versus Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. And that was 12 minutes. Yeah, 12 minutes and 25 seconds to be exact. And it ended with, as you would hope and expect, Gable and Zayn winning against Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci in, again, 12 minutes. And it ended with Zayn tagging in Gable. Vinci was hit with the Huluva kick. Gable performed the Chaos Theory on Vinci and then pinned him. So, good match. I don't think that there's any mystery in who's going to win this, but more of, when is Gable turning on Zayn? I mean, like, that's what we're looking forward to, because, not that I really want necessarily a heel Gable, because I do like the organic babyface connection that he has with the fans. At the same time, if that's what it takes to get to a Sami Zayn, Chad Gable match, do whatever you got to do. You know, I think that they're going to, they foresee Sami maintaining the babyface character. I mean, you don't want to go from heel to heel, from a champion to a champion, but Gable serving as the heel in his eventual turn is going to be just fine. And you know, they're going to put on, perhaps, again, this may be jumping the gun a bit, but if Gable and Zayn are given time, I'm talking 20, 25 minutes in a match, I don't care what the stipulation is or the whatever, what's on the, whatever the stipulation is. I don't care if it's a cage match. I don't care if it's a false count anywhere. I don't care if it's an ODQ or a straight up wrestling match. These two are may put on match of the year candidate. I'm already calling it now. Okay. So we got Andrade shaking hands with general manager Adam Pearce and NXT GM Ava before exiting the room. And Aldis said Pearce did a great job of recruiting Andrade to Raw. And Aldis said it's a shame that Pearce put all the work in just so he could snag him in the draft. So, all right. So it's nice that they're already talking about the draft. That's good. Chelsea Green entered and complained that she wasn't included on the biggest WrestleMania of all time. And Green said she would be contacting top brass. Pearce said her they saw her emails, texts, and DMs. Pearce said that's why they have a special match for her and go to the ring because they have one for her. And that's when, well, we got Jade Cargill versus Chelsea Green. This match, hey, I feel split on this. Now, this is Jade's first one-on-one match, okay? And you have to have limited expectations. It ended in 33 seconds, okay? And really, this is where, and I'll give you the description of the match. It's a few sentences. Green was barking at the referee and then the fans. Green turned around. Jade Cargill hit her with a pump kick and hit Jaded and got the victory. That's it. 33 seconds. I don't like how Chelsea Green continually gets squashed, though. And the fact that she wasn't on WrestleMania is, it's kind of, it's frustrating because I think she's one of the unsung heroes of the women's division in a very unique way over the last 6 months. And Jade Cargill, we know, is the focal point moving forward. We know physically what she brings to the table. Okay. Now, Jade Cargill did tweet out something to the effect of, oh, you know, I put on short matches, but you know, I'm here to win matches. And now I'm going, you know, I'm going to go 2-0 or something like that. And you know, basically responding to the fans that were criticizing her for never having long matches, the very few limited ones she's had. And it is frustrating, you know, like at the same time, I do understand what Jade is saying and that you're here to win. So I, at one hand, actually agree with that because it creates a more simulated sports environment where not every match has to, you shouldn't when you look at a match, you shouldn't, this will never happen, but you shouldn't look at a match and go, oh, okay, well, yeah, they're locking up. Well, you know, here comes a suplex, here comes an elbow. You kind of have a feeling of where the match is at in terms of finish. Well, if it was a real competitive sport, one punch wouldn't, you know, one wrong or one right punch could possibly end the match. What if they just get them in a right pinning combination within a minute instead of looking at a match and going, oh man, yeah, you know, it's going to go 15 minutes, right? So sometimes that takes away from pro wrestling a little bit where you know that there's always the beginning moves, the middle moves, the false finishes, and then you get to the real finish. That formula has worked and continues to work. It's just like, you know, it's one of those things that you just have to accept as a pro wrestling fan. And one of those things that your brain has to turn off if you really want to enjoy the product. But as far as Jade, again, does she eventually and will she eventually have to have longer form matches? Yes. But there's something clearly that they'd see in her in ring that they don't quite trust yet to have a longer match. And it's evident in the fact that she was in the Rumble. She did a nice showing. You know, she showed her strength. Big pop. At WrestleMania, she had limited interaction. She got the hot tag as expected, got the victory over, was it Dakota Kai? And then now we have a 33-second match in her first one-on-one. There, again, if they felt that confident and they knew that she was going to be kick-ass right off the bat and there's not a whole lot of training she needs, they would have just let her loose. But right now, that's not her shtick. And I could see the fans getting irritated with her and starting to boo her if this continues. So you need to be careful. If the idea is to keep her babyface, you don't want her, by the way, responding to fans on social media the way she does sometimes. The arrogance in which she comes across with, you know, her talking, constantly relying on her one card to play, which is really her look, which is A++. Absolutely. She looks like a superstar, a mega star, to take a pun from LA Knight. She does. She looks like a mega star, and that's something she's able to lean on. But you can't lean on that forever. And you can't lean on 30-second matches forever. Eventually, fans are going to grow very tired of that. So they need to really strategically do this in a way that if you're not trying to get her booed, to move her forward. I mean, even promos. All right, squash win. Okay, Zayn walked backstage where Gable was celebrating with Otis and Akira Tozawa and Maxxine Dupri, and Zayn asked if he could have a minute with Gable. Zayn said he figured they were even after he handed him the win, and Gable started to explain that he was looking for, but Zayn stopped him. He said he knew. He held up the IC title and told him it would be an honor to defend the title against him next week in Zayn's hometown of Montreal. I can't wait, Gable said, and Zayn agreed, and they shook hands. So we get the match, but I don't think this is the match that I'm alluding to where they could have a five-star classic. It depends if this is the main event of Raw, there's a little bit more of a cachet to it, right? But I don't think it's going to be the main. I don't think it will be, but we'll see. If it's in Montreal, you know, Gable's going to get booed. Zayn's going to be the hometown hero, and they're going to still probably have a bust-ass match. But to me, the time they have is what's going to be key to being able to tell the story that they can properly tell. I don't think also this is the final. This may be just the beginning of their program. All right, Drew McIntyre comes out. He's angry. He's angry. He said he might not like Seth Rollins, but he respects him. McIntyre said he and Rollins shared a moment only warriors know about. And he called called Priest the Bondage Undertaker, which was kind of funny. I think it even made, Cole Pop? One of them. McIntyre said he said the Money in the Bank briefcase is a joke that has now cost him the championship twice. And McIntyre said he's coming for Priest and labeled him nothing more than a transitional champion. Ouch. But possibly true. Possibly true. McIntyre said Priest may have had the contract, but he didn't because of what happened. McIntyre blamed that jerk CM Punk. Can't say the other word. I don't know if it's PG. McIntyre recalled saying he would win the title, have a moment with his family, and then rub it in Punk's face. He's going to attack Punk on site the next time he sees him. And he's going to go after his weakest part, which is just his whole body. And Jey Uso interrupts, and then we get a Drew McIntyre versus Jey versus Bronson Reed versus Ricochet for a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship in the main event of Monday Night Raw. Now, before that, Cole did tell us about a few matches for next week. Now, I told you about Sami Zayn and Chad Gable for the IC Championship, and we've got Andrade versus Dominic Mysterio as well. So we've got two matches already lined up for next week. Again, this is another staple of the Triple H Paul Levesque era because this is something that rarely would happen with Vince McMahon. Under the Vince McMahon regime, things change literally last second. Scripts are torn up. Things are changed. And Vince didn't like to commit a week before because then it would force his hand. And if he wanted to change his mind, he couldn't. All right. That's a compliment to Triple H, by the way. It gives you something to look forward to and think about. And it also shows the fans that you have some kind of plan. You know, it may not be a 3, 6, 12-month plan, but you have some idea of where the hell you're going, at least in the near future. So it's not only good for fans to think about for next week, but it also, again, even subliminally, fans are getting the message that the company is paying attention to what they're doing and the storylines that they want to continue to push forward. Even if it is only a week in advance, you know, it just sends a good message. All right. So we get that match here. It lasted, what's the time here? I think it was like 10 minutes. No, it wasn't. It was 17 minutes. Sorry. And we got, again, McIntyre, Reed, Ricochet, and Jey Uso in 17 minutes and 40 seconds. And a good match. Really good match here, as you would imagine. 450, the Ricochet performance of the 450 splash that put Reed through the table was crazy. This is awesome. Champ broke out. This is the part where I would tell Ricochet, hey, if you're listening, you got the pop, but you don't have the connection. People look at you as a fireworks show. Nobody has an emotional connection to fireworks. They look at fireworks and say, cool, let me see the next one. Cool, let me see the next one. Cool, let me see the next one. Right? But nobody sits there and cries over fireworks, right? They don't have a, they don't get angry at fireworks. They don't laugh with fireworks. That's what you are. Yet a very talented one. You're a very talented fireworks display. And until you find that connection with the crowd, you're going to remain a 4th of July fireworks display that people ooh and ah and react to, but they don't go home thinking about. Does anybody here think about Ricochet? No. Does anyone have an actual emotional connection to his character? No. You would imagine that somebody at that level, with that insane talent he brings to the ring, some of that talent would have actually been transfused somehow into his brain to create the understanding that there is something else that's needed. So I'll leave it at that. Or maybe he's just, you know, if I was him, I know he wouldn't admit it, but he's probably frustrated the fact that his girlfriend is more over than he is. And she's never had a match in her life. Oh, man. By the way, the only reason I'm throwing shade, all of it's true and I take zero of it back. I mean, there's more I could say, but I'll leave it there. Is we got a little spat on Twitter or X, and it's fine. The more he responds to me, the more promotion I get. So thanks for the promotion, bro. All right. By the way, again, I take none of it back, and it's not just amateur insults. Those are all true. 100%. I believe everything I just said. I didn't just, no, you're a jerk. No. Substance, my friends. Okay. So this was really good. Obviously, the match was really good, and I give Ricochet credit. He is an insane athlete. He had that spot there was really good. Reed had some good moments. Reed has been positioned in a way that you know he's never going to win the match, kind of like Ricochet. They're just there to be bodies to be thrown around. But you know that they're there because they can make matches better. Bronson Reed brings a, you know, the big man feel. It also gets fans used to seeing him in main events, even though you know he's not going to win, that if you see him in main events more and more, it's obviously an opportunity for Reed to show what he can do in main events and put his best foot forward and maximize his minutes and all that. But it's also an opportunity for fans to get used to seeing him there. So when he challenges somebody that's actually main event worthy in a match that you think maybe he can actually win, then that's the goal here. So, all right. But the ending was great. McIntyre was about to hit the Claymore on Jay, and who shows up underneath the ring to grab the foot of McIntyre again, but CM Punk. And Punk costs him the match. Jey Uso wins, and we get more heat between Punk and Drew. Love this. I mean, it was just love this. It was a lot of fun because you're just wondering like how much angrier can Drew get at Punk? And it's, I give them credit where Punk can't wrestle, but yet they're still finding loophole ways to get him involved physically. It's risky, but they're clearly being safe about it. And I have no issue with it. It was a surprise. I did not expect to see Punk. I thought that he was kind of gone in the wind for a while, and maybe we'll continue to see him here and there until his inevitable return in a couple of months. So we'll see. But overall, a really good show. Again, compared to last year and the year before, this was a night and day situation. Was it the best Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania I've ever seen? No. But it was a vast improvement from last year. Obviously, the star power was there between The Rock and John Cena, CM Punk, all there. And, you know, I think they just did a very nice job. This was a very solid Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, one that I would give a BB+, and say that they mission accomplished, despite the, you know, all the crying that Cody Rhodes does and will continue to do, and the video packages we'll continue to see. It's just too much. It's too much. And some people have said, well, that's what they did with Roman Reigns. That's how they built him. No, it's not. In what way did they build Roman Reigns the same way they built Cody? Here's the difference. Fans actually, when Roman Reigns was a babyface, the fans rejected him generally as the big dog babyface for 6 years when Vince said, no, you're going to like this. You're going to eat it and like it. And the fans said, no, we're not. And eventually the fans won that battle. The difference is when Cody came back 2 years ago, the fans immediately embraced him and have not stopped once. The fans are the ones that willed Cody Rhodes to the main event of WrestleMania 40 and willed the determination to have Roman drop his belt at 40. You think The Rock was going to win the belt at WrestleMania 40? Unlikely. By the way, I'd encourage everybody tomorrow on YouTube to go watch the WWE's Inside WrestleMania or Behind the Curtain WrestleMania, where they explain everything here about what they were going to do and what how they, this came to be and the fans' influence. So, I mean, going to be very intriguing. So the question and the debate between fans of, did WWE mean to do this? Was it on purpose? Was it? No, none of it was. The fans literally willed this. Unless, of course, you believe that this is the documentary is a work and then you're getting five levels deep. But so, yeah, I mean, the argument that Roman Reigns was built this way is just, I mean, it couldn't be further from the truth. Between the way the fans organically connected to Roman versus connected to Rhodes, I mean, the fans wanted nothing to do generally with the big dog. And then you get Cody Rhodes, who instantly became a main eventer the moment he came back, which was, it's still a case study to be done. I mean, how did Cody Rhodes coming back immediately be accepted by the fans as a main event guy? I don't understand. He left as Stardust, a character that's laughable. And a lot of people didn't even watch him in AEW. But even there, he wasn't a main event guy. And he comes back here and all of a sudden he's a main eventer. I mean, it's impressive. But it's also confusing. Maybe it's because also you don't see a whole lot of guys that are big name guys going from AEW back to WWE. You know, so. All right, that'll do it for me on the Monday Night Raw review. I was very candid in this episode. If I didn't already lose you, well, thank you for sticking around. You know, if I angered you in any way, then I guess, you know, hey. It's a podcast. It's my opinion. That's all. Just my opinion. You don't have to like it. You know, it's just like your opinion. I'm sure if you, those of you that disagree with me laid out your opinion, I'd sit there and if I was listening, I would be like, this dude is a dumbass, right? Hey, it's life. That's podcasting. You know, you want to voice your own opinion, get your own podcast. And I mean that in a serious way, not in a condescending way. I encourage people who need an outlet, who need an outlet to vent, who need an outlet to maybe speak with other people. Start your own show, man or woman. Seriously, I'm not doing that to be a jerk. I'm being serious. I would really encourage you to do it. It's therapeutic. And you'll run into people that hate your show and all that. And it is whatever. Once you stop caring about that, you actually feed on that. It's weird. So anyway, thank you everybody for sticking around with me. I hope you've enjoyed WrestleMania weekend. And now we got tomorrow with the mailbag, and I will just say with the amount of emails I have, it's just impossible for me to shove it in one show. It's going to have to be multiple shows. Obviously, those of you who are patrons, I will get to you first. Even all the patrons' emails I may not get to in the first show, so it'll likely be split into two shows. There's just so many emails, guys, that I just, it's going to be a tough one. So I'll do my best, but tomorrow's the mailbag to wrap up the week, and then we'll be back on Sunday for the weekend review, and we'll be off into post-Mania season heading towards Backlash. That's how quickly things pivot in this industry and in podcasting world. So thank you so much, everybody. Consider getting rid of all the ads you heard throughout the show at patreon.com/WWE podcast. On Apple Podcasts, there's an ad-free subscribe button, and both of those offer a week for free, by the way. If you want to just try us for a week and then bail, cool. Or you can go to wwepodcast.com and go VIP. All right, that'll do it for me. Wrapping it up. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to wwepodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.